This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. In 2014, the United Nations estimated that 55% of the world's urban population lived in the Asia-Pacific region. Today, more than 50% of the Asian-Pacific population has become urbanized, with over 1.2 billion people living in urban centers. Despite marked economic growth of the region, growth was not necessarily reached all, has not necessarily reached all, with the urban poor still largely marginalized. There is a drastic shortage of affordable housing in particular. In Malaysia alone, the World Bank estimates a shortfall of over 1 million houses by 2020. Affordable Abodes is a social impact enterprise that strives to promote the construction of affordable and environmentally sound, low-cost housing for the less fortunate around the world. Their mission is to empower them to provide a home and livelihood for themselves and their families. And I'm here with Tim Tan, CEO and founder. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Frida.
So when did you start this, Tim, and why did you feel compelled to do this?
Well, long story cut short, you know, we actually started 5 years ago. And I've been in, you know, construction material business for now 30 years. And so we started, you know, looking at different things and in the business line. And I also spent a little bit of time traveling around to Cambodia and Indonesia and got involved in doing some mission work in those areas, reaching out to the ultra poor who lived in slums, you know. So we were helping them to, you know, do things like build schools, religious institutions, you know, education, clothing and things like that. But it struck me, standing there in their little villages, you know, with mud everywhere, no sanitation, no power supply, no water. This is not really helpful. You know, what we're doing is just providing very superficial needs.
Right.
And their basic needs were not met. You know, they needed proper shelters over their heads, safe places. And that also meant that, you know, because they were always looking, scrounging around for materials to protect their houses with, you know, they had no time to take up proper jobs.
Right.
So that contributed to a lot of my thinking of, you know, why and how we should go about building, you know. And then it dawned on me that all of my 30 years of being involved in, you know, the cement and concrete business just created a huge amount of carbon dioxide.
Mm.
You know, cement is made from limestone and concrete is made from burnt lime. We produce something like 15% of the greenhouse gases from concrete and steel, reinforced concrete. So, you know, my mentor, Dato' Kim Tan, he's also a Malaysian biochemist, now living in the UK, he introduced me to this idea of using plant fiber. And in the UK, they were using hemp. Hemp is, for another name, you know, it's actually cannabis.
Right.
Right. But they were very successfully doing this. And actually, if you look back in history, There's all kinds of information leading to the use of hemp and straw, you know, building ancient structures which still stand until today. So that really impressed me a lot to start looking into this idea of using biocomposites or, you know, even like waste materials, upcycling of industrial waste.
Right.
That's the precursor for what I started doing.
Right.
Before actually getting into our product, which is Kanafcrete.
Right. So this comes from the Kanaf plant, right? Tell me about this Kanaf plant and where do you grow them? Where do you find them?
Yeah. So Kanaf, amazingly, I knew nothing about it when I first started, right? But did you realize that Kanaf is actually hibiscus? It is our national flower, our Malay national flower, Bunga Raya. It's related to hibiscus. The scientific name is Hibiscus cannabinus L, and it grows all over the tropics. It grows very well in Malaysia. The northern parts of Malaysia have states of Perak, Perlis, Kelantan, Terengganu, and Pahang as well. There's about 2,000 over hectares of kanaf grown every year by our local farmers.
Right.
Yeah, so that's making it very available, sustainable as well.
And the plant is now, of course, you develop a kanaf creep, but you were saying that it's grown there. What are they using it for?
Okay, so Tun Mahathir started the kanaf program during his first prime ministership. And he introduced it more than 15 years ago as an alternative to fiberglass. But kanaf fibers are a direct replacement for fiberglass. So I think his intention was to use this as a local industry, to benefit local farmers, giving them an alternative crop. Today we were faced with tremendous climate change. Even the paddy farmers are suffering great crop losses, So kanaf is a very hardy plant, and it was cultivated. In fact, there's a specific Malaysian strain called the B36. Which does very well for Malaysia. It looks nothing like cannabis. It looks just like your Bunga Raya. So he really was also targeting the industry, to supply kanaf fibers to the automotive companies that he started. So cars can be built from kanaf fiber.
Right. Okay, so, and then how long, so you've got an IP, kanaf creep, right? How long did you take to develop this?
We started 2015. I was looking at alternative building materials, cheap and fast ways to build low-cost housing. But when I came across kanaf, it was really through my introduction by my partner, Nick Au Yong. He's a Malaysian living in KL. I'm born in KL. And, he said, why don't we talk to the Malaysian Timber Industries Board? And they've got a fiber research center. So we went to talk to them, and lo and behold, we were introduced to kanaf. And, it just started from there. We did research both in Banting on the basic kanaf raw materials. And then I brought the material, to a laboratory down in Singapore to do testing. And then finally, we decided to start scaling it up in 2016. We built our factory in Mua, Johor.
Right.
And started production. Really, our production was backyard. A little house that was built in Mua. It was in my other partner's backyard, really.
Right.
So it's quite a long journey, but eventually, in 2018, we decided, we better go into prefabricated IBS, industrialized building system, type of construction materials, which would enable faster building as compared with bricks and blocks,
Okay, and I want to talk a little bit more, how fast you grow these trees and your work addresses 5 SDG goals in just a moment. I'm here with Tim Tan, the CEO and founder of Affordable Abodes. You're listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Tim Tan from Affordable Abodes, and they're a social impact enterprise that strives to promote the construction of affordable and environmentally sound, low-cost housing for the less fortunate around the world. So it's very interesting how you use the Knaf plant. And I was just doing a search as you're talking about this, and I'm serious. I just took a walk a couple of weeks ago, and I came across this plant and was so mesmerized about it, and it was a Knaf plant. I'm just saying, oh my goodness, that's the very plant I saw. So you got Knaf Crete, which is your IP, right? Have you looked at promoting it elsewhere, or are we just, it's more a case of there isn't enough of supply to even talk about doing this on a larger scale yet?
Well, Knaf exists, you know, throughout the tropical belt around the world. And it's with great fortune that we got connected with Habitat for Humanity. So I'm part of this year's Shelter Tech Innovation Accelerator program.
Right.
Which is, you know, advocating innovation in construction material, particularly for low-cost housing.
Right.
So that has put us on a different platform. You know, of course, we still have a heart for Malaysia. We still very much would like to get things done, even in East Asia, not just West Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter really of finding the right partners on the ground, the operators, you know. For us, we are, you know, our forte is, so to speak, is really in material technology. But to make things move, we have to find the right guys on the ground. So that's what Habitat is helping us to do. COVID has been very, very hard on us all, you know. Particularly for us, we've not been really able to build very much in the last year. But being locked down at home, you know, I get to do a lot of research. I get to make a lot of new connections. I've met guys in Jamaica and Kentucky who are keen to do this. Yes, so the potential is there, Frida. We really like to find the right guys to help us drive this program around the world.
Right. So, okay, 1 hectare of Knaf trees can build 15 homes, right? And how much are these homes?
Yeah, so these are the what we're talking about, home, is actually the PPRT-type housing. Right. It's about 700 square feet, 3 bedrooms, you know, fully fitted out with power supply and water and everything. You know, doors, windows, you know, it's turnkey, basically. You know, it's running at about 55,000 ringgit. Of course, that is a very tall order, you know, very tough challenge to meet. But I think if we can build up the economies of scale in our production, it's not going to be an issue.
Right.
See, the raw material of Knaf Crete actually is the core. The inner core is a very light, bulky material. It's not really used for anything else. You know, typically they would just focus on the fibers and they would dispose the core. So we're using this so-called upcycled biomass to build 90% of the Knaf Crete panel structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the cost down. And the binder system itself is also an industrial waste lime product. So we're talking about very sustainable material, readily available, you know, anywhere, I would say. Indonesia has it, Myanmar has it, Vietnam has it, you know. So there's good potential for us to expand it to those locations.
How is yours a circular economy?
Well, okay, so we start with, of course, farming the plant, right? We actually have to plant it with seeds. That can be done by hand or with machinery. And 4 months later, the plants will shoot up to about 3 or 4 meters height, and we can harvest the stems, take that and process them into the raw materials that are needed building the Knaf Crete houses. Nothing is wasted in the whole process. Even if you have any failed blocks or whatever, you can still, you know, crush it and add it back to the production line. The other aspect of Knaf, which you may or may not know, is that it is edible.
Mm.
It has 30% or more, 30% more crude protein. So in India, for example, they're very familiar with this plant. They call it Ongura and they eat it. Human beings eat it. It's very nutritious. It's considered a superfood, you know, by some. And it also can be fed to animals, of course, you know. So it's very nutritious. It's got high protein. It's got good carbohydrate and, of course, fiber as well.
Mm. Okay. So now, and I know they're very beautiful flowers, actually.
Yes.
That's why I noticed it. Your work addresses 5 SDG goals, right? Can you explain how so?
Yeah. So I guess as a social impact organization, our main priority is to combat poverty through enterprise, right? Charity has its has a limited amount of benefits, but really is to create jobs that are sustainable, that people also have good pride in what they do. I think people want the same things, whether they're poor or whether they're more well off. You know, they want proper shelter over their heads. They want, you know, schools, education, you know, all the basic necessities. So that is the driving. The main driver is really, you know, decent work and economic growth. I thrive on, particularly on innovation. Yeah, right. The number 9 SDG is industry, innovation, infrastructure. As I said, you know, all my 30 years of doing business, I've created so much carbon. Now I'm trying to reverse that situation with using Kanaf biomaterial.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce inequalities. You know, my factory manager was a lady, a young lady, you know, from Kelantan originally. And she managed our team of, well, I don't want to call them gangsters, they're my brothers. But really, they came from gangs. You know, the boys in our factory, they had little education, little opportunity in what they were doing. So they were actually doing all kinds of contraband, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So my other partner pulled them out from these gangs and put them to work and, you know, taught them, educated them, and that gave them a sense of pride. So they not only know how to produce the materials, but now they've been cross-trained to even build the houses. You know, when they realized that they were not just, you know, helping some tauke build up his business, you know, but they were really contributing back to their own communities. They were building for themselves, they're building for their neighbors. I think they took ownership of what they were doing, you know, and became much more responsible. So that's very, very rewarding to me personally.
Mm, right. And, you know, I understand it's quite fast to build a home as well, right, with what you're trying to do?
Yes, yes. The quickest build that we did was 21 days.
Wow.
A 3-bedroom house, about 660 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
It was built for and built by the person, the resident himself. If you don't mind, I'll just tell you a quick story about him. He's an amazing guy.
Right.
Encik Rosli, he lives in Tanjung Garing in Muar District. Actually, it's Tangkak District, North Johor. And he was actually legally handicapped, both physically and mentally, but he was a hard worker. At the time of building his house, he was working on number 8 child, you know. So, you know, he's got a huge, huge burden to shoulder, right? And his house was ramshackled. It was leaking, you know, it was full of holes, and he was just doing odd jobs trying to survive, you know, with his wife. And he actually lived in a neighborhood which was a bit better off, you know, and people didn't like it, they despised him, they actually wanted to kick him out. But one of the kids' teachers ran an NGO in Moa, and came on board. And when he found out about us, he put us all together and said, hey, can you help build this, you know? And the Lembaga Kanak also came on board to help with this. And after it was done, you know, the city council decided, oh, we should build a better bridge across the Longkang, you know, the canal,
mm-hmm.
to access their property and build a proper road within the compound. So after that, you know, Encik Rossi became the local kampong hero. And he personally got involved in building his own house. So, it, you know, these are stories that, you know, they will carry with me forever.
Yes, but of course, obviously, to do this again would you know, obviously take investments and all that, right? I just want to ask as well, you were saying that when the pandemic's over, Indonesia, Cambodia, everywhere really where this is needed. But you also sell the panels online, right?
We do. But generally, we like to have, you know, face-to-face contact. You know, it's a very traditional building material business. Although we have documented the entire process of how to construct a house, we actually advocate modular housing, which makes it a lot easier for people. We give them a building plan, we give them instructions. You know, it's a lot easier for them to do. In fact, to prove that point, one of my staff built his own retreat house, you know, homestay in Pangkalan Bala, Malacca, okay. Without any, really without any proper plans or anything, you know. And I went to see it and he did a fantastic job, I thought, yeah. So it can be very easy. You know, you do have to follow the rules and do it properly, of course, but it's not rocket science set by any means.
Right. And I guess, when do you, well, I don't know, are you profitable yet? When do you see yourself being profitable?
It's you know, when we talk about impact investments, the ROI is, you know, typically 5 to 7 years. And I start the clock in 2018 when we fully commercialized, got our building certifications and all that.
Right.
And today, you know, we're looking at year 4, year 5, right?
Yeah.
We were on track as of the beginning of last year.
We lost 2 years.
Until we hit this little speed bump. But I'm still hopeful. We are looking at getting more investors on board. I do have one social impact investor on board right now with me. Mm-hmm. Impact also involving in some of the startup funding that we needed. Right. But then, you know, to really scale the business, we will need another round B fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I'm at the stage now where we have started developing products from the Kanak fiber. You know, as I told you, the fiber can replace fiberglass. So today we're starting to develop roofing materials, insulated roofing materials, replace our hot tin roofs.
Yes.
And also we could use it to manufacture furniture. You know, as you know, Moa is the center of furniture manufacturing for Malaysia. So, and we have exhausted our timber supply within Malaysia, and we are now importing timber into Malaysia to produce timber furniture. So that's something, you know, that we hope to raise another round of funding to scale up that portion of the business as well. So the entire building structure, right, from roof, walls, you know, right down to furnishings can be built with Kanak.
The amazing Kanak plant. Final question, how has Magic been helping you?
Oh, Magic has been fantastic. I think they've made so many connections, especially, you know, with potential investors, with government authorities. They've given me project leads. Of course, you know, funding is not easy to come by, but we're hoping to find a strategic investor, you know, mm-hmm. somebody perhaps who's like a property developer, you know, a prop, a person who might be already in the construction materials business who might want to have a different offering in his
product.
Right. Yeah, and of course, farmers, you know, we've been working with local farmers, of course, because the Lembaga Kanap does provide some subsidy for local farmers. To go to really industrial scale, we'll need to get, you know, the likes of people like Sime Darby and IOP, all the big agro-industry players on board with us. So that's another potential strategic area that we should focus on as well.
Right. I'm putting it out there. I'm you know, a property developer that says that they are sustainable and want to have social impact. This would be a great project, right, to put their money where their mouth is, right? So it's a great story. Thanks for spending the morning, Tim. I've been speaking to Tim Tan, CEO and founder of Affordable Abodes. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.